This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله. Can you hear me? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing continues upon us. The fact that He has granted us life to witness another day. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to continue to extend our life until we witness the blessed month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, the month of forgiveness, the huge month in which Allah Azza wa Jal frees a lot of His slaves from the hellfire. My brothers and sisters in Islam, very quickly, I wanted to share with you a point about Ramadan, as Ramadan is fast approaching. So we only have about 2 weeks left in order for us to prepare, and most importantly, prepare our hearts. A lot of people now are busy preparing their fridges, and they are busy preparing, subhanAllah, you'll find people preparing for Al-Eid. Even Ramadan hasn't started, and they're already preparing for Al-Eid. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from heedlessness. The believer should not be preparing for meals and what he's going to cook and who he is going to invite and so on. Rather, the greatest preparation is the preparation of the heart. This is why on the 15th night of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the slaves. He forgives them completely from all their sins. Why? So that He gets their hearts ready for the month of Ramadan. So there needs to be a focus on the heart and how to cleanse it and how to purify it and how to get it ready for this blessed month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Dhariyat, the wisdom and the purpose for why He created mankind. We all know, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal states a fact. He said that He did not create mankind and jinnkind except that they worship Him, right? So you all follow along with me now. The purpose of life is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Now I ask you a follow-up question. What is the purpose of worship? Allah created us to worship Him. But then there's a deeper question. What is the point of worship anyway? Why do we worship Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, and He answers this. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal calls out to all of mankind and He says, O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you and the one who He created those before you, your forefathers and ancestors and generations that came before. Why is Allah commanding us to worship Him? He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain at-taqwa. Even this is the purpose of worship. The purpose of worship is so that we may attain at-taqwa, foster at-taqwa, nurture at-taqwa. Wat-taqwa, where does it reside? At-taqwa resides in the heart. Piety is in the heart. As in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once when he was with the companions, he points to his heart and he says, Ala inna at-taqwa hahuna. He says, this is where piety is. This is where piety is. And he points three times. So now we understand that the purpose of life is to worship Allah. And the purpose of the worship is to engage our taqwa, to build this taqwa and to foster it and to nurture it. Because it is a taqwa that will earn you Allah's pleasure. It is a taqwa that will admit you into the paradise. Now, look how beautiful this is and how relevant it is. Allah Azza wa Jal, during the day and during the night and during the year, He gives us worships that foster our taqwa, that nurture and grow our taqwa. And one of these major events is Ramadan and fasting itself. This is why in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you. It's been legislated upon you. It's obligatory to fast. Just as it was legislated upon those before you. Yani nations of the past, they used to also fast as well. Why? Why, Ya Rabb? Why do we have to fast? Why do we have to starve for a couple of hours, for 10, 12, 11 hours, depending on where you are? And why do I have to refrain from sexual relations? And I'm not allowed to drink any water. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows. That fasting is going to nurture this taqwa. It's going to grow this taqwa. And so if your taqwa is growing, that means you are fulfilling the purpose of worship. You're on the way to the paradise. You're on the way to earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, what is at-taqwa? So we can understand better. What is at-taqwa? At-taqwa is very simple. At-taqwa, piety, is that you do what Allah commands. You increase in that which Allah Azza wa Jal loves of the deeds, of actions and words. This is taqwa. And you do the good deeds out of love for Allah Azza wa Jal and hoping in Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy and His reward. And you do the good deeds out of fear of Allah's mercy and His punishment and anger and displeasure. And at the same time, at-taqwa has another side to it. And that is to do less of the crimes, to do less of the bad deeds. So the one who avoids sins and avoids transgression and rebellion and avoids al-haram out of love for Allah, and he avoids the haram seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward, and he avoids the haram out of fear of Allah's punishment and displeasure and anger, the one who does that, then this is exactly what at-taqwa is. These are the two sides of at-taqwa. And so Ramadan helps us with this. Ramadan helps us in the sense that as we fast during the day, as we are fasting, we are doing what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded. We are doing what Allah commanded. And that is abstaining from the matters that Allah Azza wa Jal has told us to abstain from. And this in and of itself nurtures at-taqwa. Because as you fast, a person is conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. Obviously, you're engaged in a worship. Fasting is a worship. You're engaged in this worship. You're aware of Allah Azza wa Jal. During the days of Ramadan, you're reading the Quran. You're doing a dhikr. And you'll find, subhanAllah, you'll find there's an incredible connection with the Quran and dhikrullah Azza wa Jal when you're fasting, as opposed to when you're not fasting. The one who's fasting, he connects differently with the Quran and a dhikr, as opposed to the one who is not fasting. Meaning, you can do this for your own self. When you are not fasting and reading the Quran, don't you feel it's different to when you're fasting and reading the Quran? That's because the heart at that moment is developing taqwa when you're fasting. And now it connects with the Quran. Because the book, this Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal described it as hudan lil muttaqeen. It is hudan. It is guidance for the believers. It is hudan lil muttaqeen, guidance for the muttaqeen, for the pious. And if the purpose of fasting is to increase your taqwa, then that means as you're fasting, your taqwa is increasing, and the Quran was made a guidance for the muttaqeen, for those who are pious. Put them together, have something incredible. You realize a different relationship with the Quran when you're fasting, not only at Ramadan, but any other day of the year when you fast. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, the first and foremost priority right now, when we are at the doors of Ramadan, almost two weeks, this heart, we need to make sure that we come to Ramadan, it is pure, it's clean, and it is ready to engage in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is ready to receive the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is ready to engage with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran, which was revealed in the month of Ramadan. This is the month. This is the month in which you're going to develop your relationship with Allah, your relationship with the Quran and with worships and good deeds. So get that ready. The way you're going to get that ready is with al-istighfar. This is how we're going to prepare our hearts for Ramadan. This is how we're going to prepare and purify this heart for Ramadan. First and foremost, at-tawbah wal-istighfar. Don't think of anything else. At-tawbah wal-istighfar. Continuous tawbah and istighfar. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. والله, my brothers and sisters in Islam, الاستغفار, seeking Allah's forgiveness, this is like water poured on hot coal. It cools it down. It allows it to cool down and settle. And this is what istighfar does with the heart. The heart that is messed up, The heart that is overcome by desire and temptation and doubts and sins. You need to wash this. You need to turn this heart down. Clean it with al-istighfar. Al-istighfar washes. It washes the filthiest of hearts. Even if that heart was committed to a shirk, one istighfar that is honest and sincere is enough to bring it back to crystal clear, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. So as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that if a servant was to commit a sin, he was in a state of heedlessness, and then he seeks Allah's forgiveness, suqila qalbuhu, meaning his heart is polished and it's purified and it's cleansed. Now you are ready to enter Ramadan. And the other thing that we need is we need Allah Azza wa Jal's help. No one can enter Ramadan and no one is able to fast without Allah Azza wa Jal's help. Impossible. You will not be able to do anything without Allah Azza wa Jal's help. This is why in Surah Al-Fatiha we say, Iyaka na'bud, you alone we worship. And then we said, Wa iyaka nasta'een, and you alone we seek your help. You see, why were these two mentioned right next to each other? To teach you that Iyaka na'bud is your purpose in life. Wa iyaka nasta'een is the means to that purpose. How are you going to fulfill the worship of Allah? You're going to fulfill the worship of Allah by Iyaka nasta'een, seeking Allah Azza wa Jalla's help. So now, at the doors of Ramadan, you don't just say, Oh Allah, allow us to witness Ramadan. There are some people that say, Allahumma balighna Ramadan, and he stops. Oh Allah, allow us to reach Ramadan. But it's not an achievement to reach Ramadan. Al-kafir would reach Ramadan. Al-munafiq would reach Ramadan. The believer would reach Ramadan. And what did the kafir benefit if he reached Ramadan? Then this dua is missing. When you say, Oh Allah, allow us to reach Ramadan, add to it, say, And oh Allah, give me the ability and the strength and the energy that I worship you during the month of Ramadan in a manner that is pleasing to you. وَأَعِنَّا عَلَى الصِّيَامِ فِيهِ وَالْقِيَامِ وَالطَّاعَةِ This is what you add to your dua, always add to your dua, seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's help upon the worship. And then that way, if this dua is accepted, Allahu Akbar, you're going to see a different you during Ramadan. You will see Allah Azza wa Jal's help. You will see Allah Azza wa Jal's aid and support. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the Quran, وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ He will increase your strength, give you strength upon strength, so that you will find yourself being able to fast a day. And not only barely fasted. You know, there are people, he struggles, but he barely gets through the day. As such a person, he's only focused on fasting and he cannot read Quran, cannot do dhikr, cannot do anything because his mind is just focused on the fasting. He's too hungry. But the strength that Allah Azza wa Jal gives the believer that seeks his help, a spiritual strength that Allah Azza wa Jal gives the believer, you'll find that the fasting, you'll be able to manage your hunger and then you'll be able to engage in Al-Quran during the fasting hours. Wa al-dhikr during the fasting hours. Wa al-sadaqat during the fasting hours. Wa al-salat, al-sunnah, and the obligatory prayer during the fasting hours. And this is the kind of attitude the believer is supposed to be upon during Ramadan. Not only, yani, wallah, I'm fasting, we started from after Fajr, and then as we get to al-dhuhr, wal asr creeps in, khalas, that's it, I'm tired, I need to rest, I need to sleep. There's no problems. You can take a rest, you can take a break, but not for the 30 days, in where you're just going to sleep throughout the day. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ The majority of people take the day as the only thing I need to do is fast. Oh, that's the obligation. Of course you need to fast. But where's the sweetness of Ramadan if this fasting is not combined with Quran, with dhikr? What's the point of fasting? So that your body is now suppressed. Your body has stopped from eating and drinking. Now you need to feed the soul. Now the soul has a chance to rise. Now the soul has a chance to be nurtured. And that is going to happen with the Quran, with dhikrullah Azza wa Jal. How are you going to do that? How are you going to have the strength if you do not seek Allah Azza wa Jal's help? And this is why I'm saying, seek Allah's help from now. Say, Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me the strength and the ability that during the days of fasting, I add to that Quran, wa dhikr, wa salat, wa sunnah, wa dua, wa charity, all the kind of good deeds. fit them during the day. And then when the night comes, if you are able to find strength in doing worships during the day, mashallah, you'll find double that strength bi-ithnillah after Salat al-Maghrib. And that is at-Tarawiyah and the long nights of the prayer. And then dua as well. We need Allahu Akbar, how much dua we are in need of. This dhikr series that I'm sharing with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and it's online, I learned something, that we are all in need of dua. Nana, I know this, but I learned it in a different light. I learned it in a different perspective. Wallahi, I believe no one can live without a dua. People that suffer and people that are in their problems and their trials and calamities, wallah, perhaps, is because they have not been consistent upon a dua or dhikr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walks by a people and they were sick, mubtalain. And then he says, أَمَا كَانَ هَؤُلَاءَ يَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ. Didn't these people used to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for well-being and protection and goodness? So that's the idea, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The idea is that we want to engage the days of Ramadan with goodness. And you're not going to fill the days with goodness and Quran and dhikr and salat and dua unless you seek Allah's help. So always and from now, you say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, give me the ability and the strength and the support and the help that I remain consistent upon your dhikr and upon your worship. And of course, don't forget the first matter, the istighfar, seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a short message I share with you in preparation for Ramadan. Ramadan is coming fast. Prepare the heart. Forget the other preparations. The most important preparation is the preparation of the heart. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us forgiveness. We ask Him subhanahu